Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will begin a brand new series of studies here on Grace Alive, a series entitled Three Steps to Maturity. We're going to be looking at three steps that we learn in God's Word that will move us from being babes in Christ to being mature sons of God. Our starting point for this series of studies is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. So we encourage you to get your Bibles and turn there with us as we study today. And as you get your Bibles, I'll remind you once again that you are watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive if you have any questions or comments about what you hear on the program today, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the DVDs, or the CDs of this entire month's series of studies. We'll also be glad to send those out to you with no cost or obligation. Right now, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Ephesians 2 and verse number 14, we read this. Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Now here in Ephesians 4, where we'll be beginning our studies this month, Paul talks to us about the need for us to be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but that we would grow up in all things into him which is the head, even Christ. God's desire for us as believers is not for us to stay as babes in Christ, to stay children. That moment that we trust Christ as our Savior, that moment that we're saved, we are certainly a part of Christ, and we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and we are in Christ, and we are as saved that day as we ever will be. There's no such thing as being partly saved or more saved or less saved. Our position in Christ is secure at that moment of salvation. But God's desire for us then is that in our service for him, we grow in our understanding. That we don't stay just with the very basics of understanding our salvation and understanding how we can receive eternal life, but that we go on and understand more of God's truth and learn how to implement that truth in our lives. And in this series of studies this month, that will be our topic, three steps to maturity, three steps that will help us on that road to maturity. That will help us to move from being just babes in Christ, just understanding the milk of God's Word, the basic issues of our salvation, to move on to understand how we can take that Word of God and allow it to live through our lives and allow it to produce in us the walk of a full-grown adult son of God. Now, before we begin to look at those three steps, and next week we'll start looking at exactly what those three steps are. We'll talk about them today, but not get into the detail of each one. But we want to, in Scripture, to illustrate what those three steps are and to find what the three steps are that we need to take to grow to maturity. We want to look at two churches to which Paul writes in his epistles. One, the church at Corinth, and the other, the church at Thessalonica. And if we look at these two churches, we're going to see two churches that are at opposite ends of the spectrum. This very same spectrum that we're talking about in our series of studies this month. One church that has believers in it that are babes in Christ. And a church that functions as a very immature, childlike assembly. And then at the other end of the spectrum, a church that has within it mature saints. A church that has within it saints that are functioning as adult sons of God. A church that is exemplifying the attributes and the characteristics that God would have his people to exemplify. And when we talk about maturity, babes, the babes in Corinth and the mature saints in Thessalonica, we're not talking about age. We're talking about spiritual maturity. We're talking about being mature in the faith. Let's look at these two churches and just look at the contrast between the two and understand how these two churches differed so greatly in their character and in their nature and in their service for the Lord. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll be spending time today in Corinthians and in Thessalonians. So if you want to get those passages, those books, and just kind of put a marker in each one, we'll be flipping back and forth between the two. First of all, the church at Corinth. Listen to how Paul describes the church at Corinth as he writes to them. Chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." So when Paul writes to the church at Corinth, writes to those saints there, to be sure they are saints, and this is one thing we want to emphasize in this first study today, is that we're not talking about receiving salvation as a gift of God. These people in Corinth are saved, they're secure in Christ. Notice as Paul addresses them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." As Paul addresses these people in Corinth, the church in Corinth, he calls them saints. They are called to be saints. So the people that Paul writes to in Corinth, it's not that they're not saved. When he talks about having to speak to them as unto carnal, he's not in any way diminishing or questioning their salvation, or questioning or diminishing their position in Christ. He is, however, saying something about their level of spiritual maturity in their service for the Lord. He is saying something about how far they've progressed in their understanding of God's Word and of how to live out that Word after their salvation, after they've trusted Christ as their Savior, after they've put their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as payment for their sins. After that, and after they've received the gift of eternal life, and they have that position in Christ, they then are to begin to serve and to begin to grow in that service and in their understanding. And it's in that area that Paul writes to them and says, "I can't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. I've fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it." You were not able to bear the meat, the solid food, "and I fed you with milk." And he calls them in verse 1, babes in Christ. So they are babes in Christ, spiritually speaking. They've not grown, they've not progressed, they've not matured. That passage we read in Ephesians chapter 4 as we started today, Paul's desire is that we would grow up unto the head, grow up in Christ. Obviously, the church at Corinth, being still babes in Christ, have not grown up. Turn now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And notice how Paul opens his epistle to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." Now when Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he says this. He says, "You were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." You are believers that other believers look to be an example, to help them understand how it is that you live the life of Christ in your bodies of flesh. "From you," from the church of Thessalonica, "sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith toward Godward is spread abroad." In every place. You see, when Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, his attitude is very different. They are not babes in Christ. They are not people who are still seeking the milk of God's word and the milk of God's truth. But these are people, obviously, that have gone on to be in samples to other believers, to be in samples not only to the believers in Macedonia and Chai, but their faith is spread abroad everywhere. And one interesting thing that shows us the distinction between that church at Thessalonica and the church at Corinth, in verse 8 there, Paul says, "From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad." What was known about the church at Thessalonica was their faith to God. Turn for a moment back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 1. And listen to what Paul says about the church at Corinth. "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." You know what was reported commonly about the church at Corinth? "There's fornication among you, not so much as is named among the Gentiles." You know what's reported commonly about the church in Thessalonica? What's reported commonly about the church in Thessalonica is their faith toward God. Now that's quite a difference in how those assemblies are known. One known for fornication, such fornication as is not named out there among the Gentiles. The other known for their faith toward God. These two churches we're going to use as illustrations of babes in Christ and mature saints in Christ. Of those that are feeding on the milk of God's word, those that are feeding on the meat of God's word. Let's just, as we begin, look at, we've seen some distinctions in those assemblies. Let's look at a couple other. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and get 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In the way they responded to Paul's message, how did these two churches differ? Well, listen to what happened at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." At the church of Corinth, there was much disagreement and dissension about who do we follow, who is our apostle, who's the man that God sent to us with the message. Paul says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 1, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" He makes clear this division, this problem, it ought not be there. "I am of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ." Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, how the church at Thessalonica received Paul. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You know what happened with the church at Thessalonica? They received the message that Paul preached, but they received it not as the word of men, not as Paul's word, but what it was in truth, the word of God. You see, there was no problem at Thessalonica about, are we of Paul, or we are of Apollos, or we of Cephas, or we of Christ. They understood Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, had brought them a message, but that message was not of him. It was not of Paul's message any more than Peter's message was his message. It was the message of Christ. "You received the things I told you as they are in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So you see, while at Corinth there's all this strife and division about, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ, I'm of Cephas, in Thessalonica there was none of that. They understood, they received Paul, they received his message because they understood where that message originated. It wasn't Paul, it was God's word. How else did they differ? Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 3. "For ye are yet carnal, for where there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men. The church at Corinth, there's strife, there's envies, there's divisions. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Down in verse 5, I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Brother goeth. How were the people in the church at Corinth treating one another like brothers in Christ? Brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. You see, there's not much brotherly love in the church at Corinth. There's not much unity and fellowship of the saints in the church at Corinth. In fact, if you look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 rather, and verse 20, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. Paul's concern is that when he comes to the church at Corinth, that's what he's going to find. He's going to find whisperings, backbitings, wraths, envyings, all of those problems. They're not treating one another with brotherly love. They're not treating one another like fellow members of the body of Christ. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. And listen to what Paul says to the church at Thessalonica. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Paul talks about brotherly love, and he says, as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. Verse 10, and ye indeed do it toward all the saints which are in Macedonia, all the brethren in Macedonia. I don't even need to tell you about brotherly love. You're already doing it. All I can say is increase more, do more of it. You see, the church at Thessalonica was a church that understood brotherly love. Unlike the church at Corinth, the church at Corinth is a church that didn't know much of brotherly love, that didn't practice brotherly love, that went to law one toward another, brother against brother, and that before unbelievers, that was characterized by strife and envyings and railings and divisions. When Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he says, you really have no need that I write to you of brotherly love because you already are doing it. All I can say is increase more and more in brotherly love. What about the way that Paul viewed these two assemblies? Turn back to 2 Corinthians, chapter 13 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 2. And listen to what Paul says about a possible visit to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians 13:2. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Paul had to write to the church at Corinth about problems and trials and difficulties there. And he had to say, you know, if I come again, I will not spare. I will come down there and I will straighten things out. And you're not going to like very much what happens when I come. If I come again, I will not spare. He says in verse 1 of that chapter, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. 2 Corinthians is actually the third letter that Paul had written to the church at Corinth. He says, it's the third time I'm writing to you about this. And if I have to come down there, there's going to be trouble. I will not spare. So I don't think Paul was looking forward very much to going to Corinth, because it wouldn't be a pleasant trip if he needed to do that. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 17. And listen to what Paul says. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, I endeavored abundantly to see your face. I had a great desire to see your face. I don't think that was true of the church at Corinth. Paul knew if he went down to the church at Corinth, it wouldn't be a pleasure trip. It would be because he had to deal with problems down there. Yet, the church at Thessalonica, he had a great desire to see their face because of the affection that he had for them, because of the affection they had for him. So you see this marked contrast. We see the church at Corinth, that church at Corinth, a church that's beset with problems and strife and envies, and they're babes in Christ. That's the one thing that describes them. They are babes in Christ. And we see then the church at Thessalonica. And the church at Thessalonica, the word that we could use to describe them is mature. They're mature, adult sons of God, and they're living like that. They're living in brotherly love one toward another. They're doing the work of the ministry. They are known for their faith toward God, not known for the fornication that goes on there. And that's the distinction. If you want to see both ends of the spectrum, we're looking this month at those three steps to maturity. Where you start out is the church at Corinth. Where you want to end up is the church at Thessalonica. That's the journey to maturity. And if we can understand in Paul's epistles, what is it that made the church at Thessalonica mature that the church at Corinth didn't have? What is it that the church at Thessalonica had or did or believed or understood that the church at Corinth was missing? Then we'll understand how we can be the Thessalonian assembly and not the Corinthian assembly. And here's the key. Turn with me if you will to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says this in verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Paul is telling the church at Corinth they need to move on. They are using things that are in part, the gifts, the tongues, the prophesying, the healing. And he says, you need to move on to something else. You need to move on to another way of living and understanding. You need to move on, in verse 13, to faith, hope, and charity. Notice with me, if you will, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Work of faith, labor of love, charity, patience of hope. Faith, charity, and hope. Those three principles, faith, charity, and hope. Those three principles are what marks the life and the walk of a mature believer. It's what the church at Corinth was lacking. You know, oddly enough, we're taught many times today that the sign of a mature believer is exercising the spiritual gifts, the speaking in tongues, especially, or the prophesying. You know, the church at Corinth had all that, and they were babes in Christ. And Paul says to them, you need to move beyond that. You need to move beyond those spiritual gifts to something better. The church at Thessalonica had already moved there. He tells the church at Corinth, you need to move on to faith, hope, and charity. He tells the church at Thessalonica, I thank God for your faith, hope, and charity, for your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. And if you want to be a mature saint, if you want your assembly to be a mature assembly, you need to move on and operate under these principles, faith, charity, and hope. Now, what does it mean to operate based on faith, charity, and hope? To do a work of faith, a labor of love with the patience of hope. Well, next week we'll begin to look at that. We'll spend a week looking at each one of these principles and understand how you operate in this realm, faith, charity, and hope. And in doing so, become not the church at Corinth, but the church at Thessalonica. Become mature saints. We'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.org. And our toll-free phone number is 877-53-GRACE. You can contact us in any one of those ways this week. And when you do, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs of this entire month series of studies, just request it. Request the series on maturity, and we'll get it out to you without any cost or obligation. And if you have questions or comments about what you've heard, please do feel free to notify us with those also. We'll be glad to get your answers back on those. Till next week, when we continue this study on faith, hope, and charity, the three steps to maturity, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.